Hey, we're here. You're here. Get ready for the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I'll tell you guys what, I asked you for some help yesterday. You guys came through. By the time I got done in the afternoon to vote, I think there were like a total of like 170, 180 votes in aggregate. Purple stick.
Oh, of course.
Cans. But it was a margin. It was by like two votes.
What was the other
game? GHI.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I watched all day, and it was like, it did this all day. And I'm like, my gosh, I gave him a 3 o'clock deadline. It better not be tied at 3 o'clock. And sure enough, it was like one vote over on the purple stick, and then somebody, I guess, voted in a little bit, and it won. So did that on over 12% off. That's cheaper than the 3-pack special on it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I asked you guys for help on that because we had that glitch last week, so I appreciate it. This is the product. You guys, if you had it for you, love it. If you haven't, be sure to give it a try. Actually, I actually have some vanilla Fit Food.
I like about that product is it doesn't elevate cortisol.
No.
Do you remember when we were in development with this, we went to several different manufacturers, and one of them sent us a sample, and they used coffee bean extract in it.
It was green coffee bean extract, and it got you hyped. And then about 3 hours later, it
just
was
like
funny.
Coffee.
It was weird. Me and Ted, we both tried.
Me and Dad.
Dr. Ted Bro over here.
That's what I wore. It's
not the Austin and Dad show, is it?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I have. Okay, so Ted and I, when we were testing the product out for Health Masters.
You think he's right? Send him an email.
We tried it, and it was green coffee bean extract. And we both got extremely agitated, like about 3 or 4 hours after we took it, if you remember.
Yeah,
that.
And we're not fun when we're agitated.
No, we both took it. We felt good. We worked out. I came back over. He's mad about something. I'm mad about something. I'm like, why are we both so irritable right now? So we tried it again the next day.
Same thing. And by day three, I was irritable all the time before I even took it. It's the elevated cortisol. This doesn't do that. This keeps you flat.
Yep.
I've dated people before. Okay. And no, I have in the last 4 years.
Why does every story evolve into that topic?
I don't know. It's sad, isn't it? But and they drink coffee.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they tried this. And they basically, their whole personality changes. And then they go back on coffee. And you're like, okay, I got date number one, date number two. Who's going to show up today? Depends on whether they drink coffee or not. They're either going to be really nice or really mean.
It's true. If you've been around somebody that's a real true, I mean, coffee addict, they got to have it. By 7 a.m., if they're coffee and brewing, they're pissed off. Yeah. By 10 o'clock, they haven't had their third cup, they're even madder.
Yeah, no.
It gets old dealing with them after a while.
Sharon used to say to the kids, stay away from Dad today. He's on coffee. Because every once in a while, I drink a cup. And I feel great the first couple hours. I did. And then all of a sudden, I felt that cortisol go up. I got agitated. I felt awful. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to have more coffee. And then it made it worse. It takes about 3 days for the cortisol to return to normal. If you stay on it for 3 days in a row, the cortisol just doesn't come down. You start off mad to start with. And so I remember I was dating this girl. I told her, I said, look, I can't date you if you don't stay on the purple sticks and get back on the coffee. I said, I'm not going to fight. It's not a relationship. It's a fight. It's nightmarish. And you think, well, you were the same way. Yes, I was the same way, too, on coffees. That's why
I get the same way, too.
And that's why when we developed this product, they wanted to put that coffee because it's so much cheaper. I said, no, absolutely not. I don't want any coffee in this. I want green tea in it. And that's why the product is so good. I mean, you can drink this at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and you still sleep like
a baby.
You
still go to sleep.
That's 11 o'clock. You can drink coffee 4 or 5, you're up.
Well, I remember, it gets even worse. I remember there was a product years back in the day, and I don't recommend this. It's been discontinued.
Don't even mention the name.
It was a product that basically had enormous amount of caffeine. It was pre-workout. And then it had 5-1-dimethylamine in it,
which has
now been banned by Congress because they found out it was like two molecules twisted off methamphetamines. And it was in some major, if you guys told you the name, you know the name of it. It was in major pre-workouts. And the stuff, you had insane energy in the gym. We couldn't figure it out at first. It came out. And we'd be in the gym and like 2 hours in. And we're going to failure. 2 hours in, we're still not tired. And then you get done, you drink a shake. And I mean, you crash off like you went off a mountain, and all you wanted to do was fight with everybody. After about a month of taking this stuff, we're all just like up and down. Everybody goes, man, what? This stuff's great until it's not. And then come to find out, yeah, they had that stuff in it, and it was like 400 milligrams of caffeine. I've realized a long time ago, more stimulus doesn't equal better results.
Well, in World War II, they were giving the Nazi soldiers methamphetamine.
Yeah, keep them awake.
Well, they were like super soldiers.
Yeah, until you turn into a zombie.
Well, yeah, and they would march forever. especially the SS, but the Waffen-SS.
Well, you know, and then that massively increases body temperature, so you don't get cold.
Boy, you burn calories.
Well, that's the problem. You waste away. So, but the problem with that product, they put it in pre-workouts, and so that product needed to come off the market. Normally, I don't recommend Congress doing stuff, and they step in and start banning products. That was an ingredient that did not need to be in.
I remember that one time when they were taking an ephedrine compound, and I remember it was a whole team out of Europe, bicycle team.
Yeah.
And they all, like, had heart attacks at the same time.
Yeah.
Because their hearts exploded.
Ephedrine.
Yeah. And they took that off the market, too. And it'll burn fat, and it'll get you a good workout, but it's not worth the risk.
Cardiac damage.
And it's funny. This is just popped up on my screen. It's Daily Mail this morning. Some woman who basically she's divorced now, and she got a baby, and now she's got a book deal for millions of dollars, and she's talking about her sex life as a single mother.
That's the book deal?
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to mention her name. I'm not going to even post a story. But, you know, again, it goes right back to who are you? Who do you appear to be? How do people perceive you? And when she comes across with pictures like this on Daily Mail, and don't get me wrong, she's very pretty. But the problem is that, you know, why are we now talking about the sex life of a single mother? Why? Because this is what they promote. This is turning into a gynocentric society. You think, what does that mean? That means women think that they can do whatever they want to do, and some men are the same way, and they can have anybody they want whenever they want to have them, which is simply not true, and they act like they're entitled to anything that anyone else has. In other words, when they're dating somebody and they're driving a Lamborghini Urus, they want them to give them the Lamborghini Urus. You say, you're laughing at me right now. Guys, I'm not making it up. Or they want the guy to give them a G-Wagon or a Lamborghini Urus. And I'm talking first, second date. Or they want them to take them to Hermes and buy them a $100,000 Cracker Barrel bag. No, I'm not kidding.
I know.
Let's be real. Now, you also knows I'm telling the truth.
I want a Birkin on our first date.
No,
calm down.
We know that one idiot. He took that girl on the first date,
Louis Vuitton,
and bought her $5,000 with a Louis Vuitton on the first date. She's like 18 years old. I mean, she thought she had landed a whale. He wasn't. He's a liar. And then she, am I making it up?
No.
And then he ends up now. She's like 19 old. Now she's pregnant. Well, he's going around the world getting people pregnant. That's what he does. And just leaves. Doesn't raise any kids. And he's a liar and a thief. And I talked to him one day. I said, don't you ever come over here again. Don't you ever talk to me again. I consider you a liar and a thief and a con artist. I told him, stay away from us. And that's who he is. And so these women, they go out with somebody like that. And now it's like, oh, I got an Hermes bag. I got a $50,000 crocodile bag. And by the way, they make $50,000 crocodile bags.
They go up to over $100 million.
Hermes, it looks like it's spelled Hermes, but it's not. It's Hermes.
Hermes
or whatever. And I've never bought one of those, nor will I ever buy one of those. I'm talking about wasting the money. You can buy a dog on E-Class Mercedes for the cost of one of those things. Or base model.
Well, a lot of that market for those guys is the Middle East, the sheiks over there, with the oil money, where they just have obscene amounts of money.
Now, speaking about that, Porsche's in trouble. They're laying off another 10,000.
Porsche's in a lot of trouble. I was reading about that.
They said the sales in China have collapsed because of the EV market in China now is so much cheaper with what they're making. And Porsche about bankrupted themselves with that. Was it Taycan?
Taycan. Yeah, that electric failure.
$220,000 purchase price. People rushed to buy it. $60,000 in trade-in value a year later.
Wait, here's the thing you got to understand when you're looking at automotive industry when it comes to, you know, electric vehicles. You know, say you go buy a DVD player back in the day, right? The DVD player never appreciated. Right? You go buy a $100 DVD player, what's it worth in a month?
About 10 bucks.
Yeah. Right, okay. Electronics never appreciate. They never have. They never will. It's because the development of electronics build, continually change, and grow over time. So when you take something like an EV, it's considered basically electronic. So
golf cart.
It's a golf cart. So golf carts don't go up in value. You buy a golf cart within a month, it's worth about half price. After the batteries are shot, it's worth about scrap price. And so what happens, everybody thought, well, because it's got a Porsche badge or these other cars, you know, it's going to go up in value because they've seen other cars like the 918 Spyder or the Carrera GT. They see them go up in same value. The other day, I saw the 918 went for $5.1 million at Mecum. So I'll be at Taycan for $200,000. It's going to be worth $300. No, it's worth about $50 in a year. Sorry, you're upside down.
And it's in the shop constantly.
And it's in the shop. And so Porsche said they're kind of third of their jobs as auto crisis deepens. And what they're doing with this, and I was reading about it, what is smart, though, is they're reducing production on the cars. They're increasing MSRP on the cars, which sucks for the vast majority of people trying to buy them. But what they're doing is they're going to make the cars more limited production runs. They're going to make the cars harder to get allocations
on. Okay,
that's the only option they have.
No, let's stop for a second. Okay, now we're dealing with break-even curves.
Yes,
we're dealing with profit and loss statements. Now we're dealing with you got to have a you have these curves that you plot, you know, in the MBA program, and they teach you how to figure out where the break-even point is. And what they're doing, is they're raising the price so they can have a higher break-even point and less production. Well, that only works to a certain extent. Sooner or later, you have to stop making cars.
Or you got to start doing, everything's like one of 20.
Well, they're talking about now. They're talking about going outside of the country and starting other factories to make the cars and not doing it in Stuttgart anymore. Well, no, and then the quality controls go through the toilet.
Yeah.
But no, but Porsche at one time was the premium brand image as far as reliability in sports cars, and it still is. But now they're coming out with these hybrid vehicles that have the electric assist motors, which are fine. But what happens in 10 years when the batteries have to be replaced?
Exactly right. When I looked the other day, somebody was showing me the market on that SF90 Ferrari. You know, at one point during COVID, those cars were going for almost $1 million, $700,000. You could pick them up now, which is still expensive. They're going for like $250,000, $300,000.
Yeah.
They said once the battery goes out, at minimum, just to replace the battery, $70,000 on that car. And I'm like, show me numbers. I'm like, that's the fact the cars are expensive is one thing. The battery, 70 grand? That's almost more than almost every brand new vehicle on the market. So what do you do with a car like that?
Well, I had a friend of mine. He had four big lithium batteries. He'd paid $8,000 a piece of them. I mean, they're bigger like this. They're huge. They weigh 200 pounds a piece. And I remember he wanted to sell them because he didn't need them anymore. And he asked me, he goes, well, what can you buy these lithium batteries for? And I'm like, well, I could use them for a backup solar system. I guess I could do that. But I don't want them. They're used. But the lithium, you can discharge it all the way. It comes right back. You can't do that with lead acid. So finally, we negotiated, and I gave him $500 a piece for them.
Yeah.
They're still sitting on the shelf, and I keep them charged, and I use them for emergencies. They've been working great for years. The problem is that when you have these cars, this lithium battery stuff is expensive.
Yeah.
The problem is, used, they're not. They're worth nothing. There's no resale value on them. And so when you have a battery that goes bad and you got to replace it like that, it's going to be expensive, and they're heavy as all get out. And you don't want to get them wet. They explode, and they catch on fire.
Well,
they're
what happens is, too, because, and this has been one of the problems with the manufacturers, majority of manufacturers have not factored in ease of trading these out. When they build these cars, especially these exotic cars,
they build them down inside the frame.
They build the frame of the car around the battery system for weight distribution. So you can't go, well, we're going to add a battery. We're just going to add it to the roof. Make the roof bigger. Well, you have to go around a corner. There's the blips. There's no balance to the car. So they got us like center in the middle of the car, at the very bottom of the car. Well, what happens when you go to replace it? It's like, we got to pull the entire drivetrain out of the vehicle.
Or you have to replace it. You have to take the body off the car.
Yeah, or you got to drop the motor, drop the transmission, drop everything out of the car. So it's not just even the battery. It's the doggone labor. You got to disassemble the entire car.
Well, it's like that Bugatti where they have 14 or 15 ports.
13 dry sump ports to drain. You got to.
And was it $35,000 for an oil change?
Yeah, it's like 30, that's what the guy told me. Like $36,000 for oil change.
I mean, give me a middle camera. Why $36,000 for an oil change? What are you going to do with that? And a lot of guys, they buy them and they get the first oil change. You're like, I'm selling this thing.
Well, that one rapper, he did that interview. He bought one. He's like, I'm buying a Bugatti. He goes, I bought a Bugatti. Next month I had it. I got a rock in the intercooler in the side. Just driving it. $85,000 for the intercooler. He said he traded it in and swapped it out for like four other cars. I was like, yeah.
But the German industry, a pillar of the national psyche, is now trembling. And remember, they always do this because they hate Germany.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. With the little hat people, the cult that rules the world, they decided a long time ago when Germany decided to get rid of their Rothschild banking cartel currency in the 30s and go debt-free on currency and fight World War II printing currency and not have to basically borrow anything, that they couldn't let the world see that. So they had to make sure they wanted to get rid of that DNA. Those pesky Germans from the 30s, they were pesky. They kind of said what they thought, and they kind of did what they wanted, and they didn't want to be put. They wanted to be slaves.
And they did what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
That was a big part.
I guess then people think I'm pesky because I always do what
pesky.
I say I'm going to do.
You put me on something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, and another issue, too, that's been happening, though, in Germany is the third world takeover. Is remember the little hat people, the banker boys, they don't want to deal with high wages. They don't want to deal with businesses that pay people really good wages and build things. They want to have little serfs and peasants that basically follow orders, push the button, don't ask questions, sit in a shanty, you know, live on basically nothing. And they have their own little secluded high-end lifestyle. They run around the entire world. They don't want anybody to have any. It's not enough that they have all the money. It's not enough they control the banks. It's not enough that they own all the S&P 500. They want to make sure everybody else has nothing as well. They're not just happy with having everything. They want to make sure everybody else has nothing.
How messed up that is.
That's what it is. It's just greed. It's avarice. It's not, I'm a trillionaire, but I don't want him to have a car. He needs to walk or he needs to take an electric bus.
And then what's funny is they claim to be communists or socialists, right? But they have everything, but they're not. It's like Oprah Winfrey. And I mean, I was asked to be on her show before. I turned it down. I wanted nothing to do with her because she's a socialist. Here she's got, she's a billionaire, got all this money, and always complaining that we don't give enough money to the poor. Well, Oprah, here's my response to you, you know, besides on how to lose weight, which you never have been able to do successfully.
Consistently.
Is, but I won't give you that advice today because you're not going to hear it anyhow, is, look, if you're so concerned about the poor, why are you a billionaire? And by the way, why was your house not burned down out there in Lahaina? And why did you have that road that went through your house for the rescue vehicles you closed so they couldn't go through it? Oh, I'm just asking. You know, why is that part of your...
Well,
your,
she's done these things before. She goes out and like buys everybody a car. And like the show, she goes, like, you're getting a car, you're getting a car. Spends like, you know, $500,000 buying cars for the whole studio. You do understand like her net worth's what, like $6 or $7 billion?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like going to somebody paying like a $50 tithe at church.
No, it's not even that. It's less.
It's less than that.
When you're a billionaire, that means you got 1,000 millions. Okay, when you're worth, you know, when you're worth of 6 billion, that means you got 6,000 millions, right?
Yeah.
So if you give $1 million away, it's like giving 1/600th of your net worth away. Which if you're tithing on $1,000, it's like nothing. It's like a dollar. It's nothing.
Yes, it's
no. It's, so she basically just gives money away like that. And look at me. But you know, why do you need? It's like these nonprofits. I'm gonna jump on it for just a second.
Oh gosh.
And they get on TV, and then they're hitting you with. And I'm a Christian. I shouldn't pick on the other Christians because some of them aren't saved. I know some of them. They're not saved.
It's Friday. You're weapons free.
I mean, you're weapons free. But the problem is, they say I'm worth $4 billion. I got $4 billion in the bank. What about helping other ministries out that are really doing good? Maybe you should pay off some of their facilities. Yeah. Maybe you should feed the poor. Maybe you should get off that pile of cash and quit bragging about it. Maybe you don't need a fleet of jets. Maybe you don't need all that stuff. Maybe you need to be putting your money where your mouth is and start really going out and getting people solvent. I mean, maybe you should. Oh, that's right. You only give to your own ministry. Oh, that's right. I loved it. Lady in Tampa one time. You guys would know who she was, but I'm not going to tell you.
No names.
And she goes, we didn't write a check out to the church. You give this church money, you'll be blessed. Now, remember, she owns the bank account. And the bank account is sealed, and nobody gets to see the books. So she's up on the platform and the podium, and she's writing a check to the ministry. Well, she's writing it from one checkbook to another one of her checkbooks. But see, that's psychological, because they see her writing a check, and everybody goes, oh, we need to write a check. She's giving money. We need to give money.
She put like a $10,000 check in there. The problem is all it was, it's just fungible money. It's like saying, I'm writing a $10,000 check out of my checking account to my savings account.
I saw her the other day. She was doing a healing crusade, and she started yelling at the crew. I'm not paying for anybody until I have $100,000 here in the offering plate. She actually said that.
That's bold.
And I thought myself, where's the love? Where's the compassion? You know, Christianity is not about the money. It's a lie. We talked about it yesterday. When you have all the stuff in the world that you want, you no longer rely on God. You start thinking your poop don't stink. Sorry to say it that way, but you do. You kind of think you can do whatever you want to do. The sad part about it is if we lose the love that we have, the Bible says they'll know that you are my disciples because you love one another. How many times did I tell you guys I love you? I love you because I just appreciate you. Because if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't even be here. So that's why we try to bring you the truth, whether it's fun or not. We have to talk about it sometimes. But now the thing I really don't want to talk about today, and I got to do it, thousands of illegal African migrants have now overrun Spanish enclave, turned streets and open toilets and bathed in fountains. This is an apocalypse for...
You've seen some of the videos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy,
well,
dude.
Well, now here's the problem. Austin and I were at Gibraltar.
Yep.
That's where they had the Barbary apes.
Oh, yeah.
The monkeys, right? And it was funny because one of these monkeys thought Austin was the coolest thing on planet.
Oh, he just wanted to hang out with me.
Well, he jumped on Austin's back, kind of started picking at his head, looking for things. You know, I mean, like, he's like,
I guess I appeared to be a monkey friendly person.
Well, they probably thought you were their cub or their calf or their monkey baby or whatever you call it. And so this monkey's like, I guess he's looking for things that, you know, pick off his head.
He's hanging out though.
No, but he was cool. And they're called the Barbary apes. Now that's right there where the Pillars of Hercules are.
Yeah.
In other words, you could see Morocco from there,
yeah,
from Gibraltar. It's that close.
It's pretty cool.
So when this happens, this is not a long ways across. No. You can see both coastlines. They came over with fleets of boats yesterday. Thousands upon thousands
of them.
Hit
the shore, hit the walls.
Now, that was orchestrated. Somebody paid for that.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody said yesterday that Israel set this up. Now, they wouldn't do that because they weren't the ones sponsoring the Darien Gap. Oh, that's right. They were the ones sponsoring the Darien Gap.
They would never go in and start carpet bombing Gaza and civilian infrastructure and bombing children in schools. They would never do that either.
And they would never shoot children for sport. No, they would never
blow up historical monuments in basically Lebanon either.
No, they wouldn't do that either.
Beirut. They would never do that.
But, you know, but the point is that, you know, now they're saying that Mossad was directly involved in this because somebody orchestrated. These guys don't have money for boats. These guys in Morocco are dirt poor. And they came across, it says, an unprecedented wave of nearly 50,000 illegal migrants from Africa has flooded the Spanish enclave of Ceuta, prompting Spain to deploy its military as local likened the invasion to an apocalypse. Harrowing local media reports reveal residents and business owners, basically Spanish territory, located on the North African coast, are terrified to open their doors amid the rush of migrants, many of whom arrived wearing nothing but swimwear, without a penny or possession in their name, pooping in the flower beds, pooping on the streets, and urinating everywhere. That looks great.
That's a great look.
But here's the problem. They're not armed. They don't have weapons.
You can't engage them. You really can't.
You can't.
Fire on unarmed civilians.
You can't get the M60 out.
No, I forgot. They should have IDF in.
Oh, they would.
IDF would have been just fine. Why did they do that?
Yeah, well,
IDF deployed. IDF loves shooting unarmed civilians.
I'm sure IDF was involved in bringing them over.
They were.
Businesses closed. Shops shut because if you open a business, it gets overrun. We're scared. They come in and steal everything. The streets are packed. There are no measures in place. It's every man for himself. They're not giving us any help. A terrified downtown resident owner who didn't want to give their name told state-owned Spanish media. So here's the thing. You have 50,000 people show up in your neighborhood overnight. In the morning, just show up. And you ask yourself a question. Who paid for this transfer? Who paid for any of this stuff? How did this get caught? How did you bring 20 million people across, you know, through the Darien Gap? That was completely done by Israel, by the way. But yet Israel has the most closed borders in the world. You don't go into Israel unless you're going to convert to Judaism.
Well, unless they turn the Iron Dome off and they allow little hang gliders to come over and
That's all that was probably Mossad.
Right. That's the only way you get in is when they want you.
But the problem is this rules for thee and not for me. You know, because remember, the way you destroy a people is you allow it to be overrun with special interest groups and other groups. Because these people coming in from Africa, they don't have any loyalty to Spain or to Gibraltar or to Portugal or anything. They don't care. They don't care about any of it. All they care about is, where am I going to get my next meal? I'm hungry.
Rome got so diluted.
I'm wearing a swimsuit. I'm cold.
Feed me.
No, I'm going to go in the shop and take some clothes.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I'm going to go and steal food. I mean, you think about it. This town had 40,000 people in it, and 50,000 invaded it.
Jeez.
So unless you were sitting there on the coastline, like in Normandy, and you had a belt feed 60, you know,
G42,
that you're going to be empty with it, you're going to be melting barrels on. You're not going to stop this. It's like water. Yeah, I was talking to Rich this morning.
So 40,000 people live there, and 50,000 people.
When we have a hurricane here, we have a problem in our yard. It floods. And, you know, I used to think, well, I can mitigate this. And you can with pumps. But you don't stop the water. If it's going to sleep in on
you just move it around.
It's like if you get caught. I remember years ago I was river rafting up in Georgia. And I remember that we were doing Chattooga. Great river rafting. But be careful. It's a level 7 or whatever. It's pretty dangerous. And I remember they put us in a big calm area of the water running. And it was real heavy current. And they said, why don't you swim the shore real quick? And I thought, okay. Couldn't do it. You'd be swept downstream. Now they were watching you, so they got you back in the raft, and they said, that's what water does. Well, it's the same thing. This is like a storm surge coming into the city. They couldn't stop it. And the only way you could do it, you could stop it with, you know, with heavy artillery or machine guns or whatever. You have to kill everybody, but otherwise you're not going to stop it. But the problem is the world has become so woke and so careful about what you do now. You can't even call somebody by the wrong pronoun in some of these countries. You get unbelievably everybody mad at you. Then everybody else in all these other countries go, oh, bless the little migrant's heart. They should let them in and feed them. Okay, I got it. Okay, I understand that concept. I got it. I'm a Christian. But you got to do it, you know, responsibly and organized.
It's super slow. You can't drop 50,000 people in a town of 40. That'd be like 150,000 people descending upon Lakeland at one time.
Yeah, and I remember
the infrastructure would overrun. Nothing could handle anything.
And then I remember, you know, they wanted us to get back in the raft, right? And they wanted us to get in the raft with this river. And so they said, most people, 99% of people can't get in the raft by themselves. And I remember me and old Sean were there. And I looked at them. I said, "You speak for yourself. I work out every day." And they said, "Well, you can't do it either because the life vest comes way out, right? And you can't.
You got to do a far out pull up."
I did it.
I know.
I climbed back in the little bit. Me and Sean were the only two that could get back. Yeah. None of the other guys. They were like a bunch of beached whales. We had to drag them in the thing.
They got grabbed by the back.
But that's the thing is that, you know, when you get in water that moves like that, you can't do anything about it. When you get that many people coming at you once, you can't do anything. Here's the thing. Let's say you got a Glock with you. Okay. And you got an extended mag in it. You got a 43X with a 17 round mag in it. Right. Well, let's have more fun. I've got a Glock gun that's a pistol, and I've got a 100-round magazine to dual feed.
The big drum?
No.
They're on the Glock.
No, and I'm running 100 rounds. You know what you're going to do if you shoot 100 people out of 50,000? You're going to die.
That's what you're going to do.
They're going to be so mad at you, they're going to dismember you. Probably eat you because they're hungry. You know? Start a barbecue.
This isn't Haiti. This I think they're a little bit more or less cannibalistic.
Oh, I don't think so. And so all of this crazy stuff. And you know, so you realize that, you know, sometimes you get into a situation where you don't know what to do. It's kind of like Kathy Ireland. You know, she was doing $300 million a year in sales. Actually, she up into the billions, right? She's broke.
She broke.
Her doggone partners, she calls them basically financial advisors, stole all her money. I mean, she can't even get a house loan. She had to sell her house. This girl was doing billions a year in sale on Kathy Ireland, Inc. and KathyIreland.com. And she says that faith in God has gotten her through the shocking betrayal by former managers. And they're saying they weren't managers. They're saying they were partners. And they said that she signed every check. And now, I'm going to say something to you, because I wasn't going to cover this today, because this is weapons-free today. If you're in business with somebody and you don't know who they are, or if you got a secretary running your place and you don't know who they are, I've had this happen before. They start stealing money from you. It's very subtle, and it's very hard to find when they do it, when they figure out how the books work. So be really, really careful with people in your organization. You know, I mean, we hold it tight. And we make sure we know everybody, and nobody has the ability to sign on our checkbook except me and Austin. That's it.
The problem, and then on top of that, even with signing, you got to make sure that people that get into your business or they're doing work for you, that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. You know, we got a marketing director, Michael Barrett. He's awesome. He's brought our website back.
You got to quit promoting him. He's so busy.
Well, I know. He's great.
Yeah, he's great. And I totally trust him.
But a year and a half ago, I had somebody in the position that was not so great. I'm not going to put names out there. But the problem was, a lot of times you get people that come to your business.
You know what I heard? I heard that guy liked to buy Louis Vuitton purses for his first girlfriend on the first day.
I digress. The problem is, everybody's dealt with this in your business long enough. People come in, "I'm going to build this for you. I'm going to build this. It's going to 5X your sales. It's going to do this, and it's going to be great."
You're not
going to be able to handle all the orders. Okay, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Let's start. And you start pumping money into it. You pump more money, and nothing produces. Sometimes stuff gets worse. So be cautious of the big talk people. This is one of the reasons why I always like to see as far as you work with people. If you say, "Hey, listen, you do this for me. Once it's done, if it's working properly, we'll set out some type of, you know, bonus structure or pay scale once it's actually functional."
Based on your production.
That changes everything. That's why I'm a huge, huge, huge proponent of even small bonuses, small business structure like that. You tell somebody, "Hey, you do this every single month, every single payroll, X amount of sales go up, you do better work, you do this." People go, "Okay, I got a little skin in the game now." And that's the problem. When people start coming in, "I need $50,000, I'm going to develop this for you, and it's going to go fantastic, and you're going to start doing huge sales." Well, they do it. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Or it gets worse. Be very cautious, because there's a lot of people out there, and especially, and please, 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 stay away from the social media influencers and the course sellers.
Yeah. They have no idea what they're doing.
Even the fitness sellers. I have seen that industry go to crap so fast now, because everybody wants to make some quick money, and they have no ethics, and they have no morals in a business standpoint.
True.
All of a sudden now, you notice in the last 5 years, everyone is a health expert on social media. Everyone is a course seller on how to get in shape and lose weight. If you $10,000, I'll sell you my course and I'll get you in shape and I'll motivate you. Shoot for it. And all of a sudden you pay this money, they give you some good content, and all of a sudden, well, now you gotta buy the extra VIP course, it's $5,000. Okay? I'll buy that. Well, now if you want to have a meeting with me, it's another $5,000. I've watched people get scammed out of thousands and thousands of dollars in the health industry because they get involved with these people. Guys, I don't even charge for the show. I don't even charge for the articles on this show. I'm doing the best I can to keep it going with the supplements and maintain overhead with this show, with the company, everything, but give you guys a doggone truth every single day. Because at the end of the day, it's your choice what you do with it. But I'm not going to sit here and bamboozle people with this nonsense. I'm so over this course selling health online social media stuff.
Well, no, here's the thing. You know, we provide one of the, if not the most high-quality supplement in the world. We do. These products are unbelievable. We develop this. Nobody else has this. We are the only ones who sell that, the Purple Sticks. And, that's it.
That's all right now.
And so, you know, here's what I've learned. I mean, I've been in business for 45 years. Think about that for a second. Under the same corporate umbrella. Think about that.
We haven't gone from bankruptcy to bankruptcy and bankruptcy every 3 years.
No, we don't do that.
Which, by the way, you will find out your favorite little course seller usually has been in business about 6 months, and they usually got a trail of banks or dissolved bank companies behind them.
And there's a reason they got a 300 Beacon score, and they call them Roach.
My favorite. They got a 300 Beacon score, but they're going to tell you how to be successful, how to build wealth.
I went out with this girl years ago. Sharon's, this is almost starting the fifth year now, and several years ago I went out with this girl, and she was one of these social media influencers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And she had this whole program on how to be successful. She was completely broke.
I bet she probably charged thousands of dollars.
No, it was $3,000.
Yeah, there you go.
and she had these people backcharging her all the time, and she was always complaining. And finally I told her, I said, you know, you're completely broke, you're insolvent, your car's being repoed, you live at home with your parents. Why do you think you have the right or the ability to tell people how to become successful? I ask her that. Of course, that was the last date. It was the last date.
It's the new Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
So what they do is they bamboozle people out of money. They sell them these bogus courses. Mm-hmm. Then what they do is they go on these trips that are usually maxing out their credit cards, or they get other people to fund half of it, and they go to Bali. They go on a cruise.
That's what she did. She's always done it.
I can't even make this up. I didn't know that.
No, she spent. Then she left, and she says, well, I'm going to Spain.
Right.
No. Remember, now she didn't have a pot to urinate in, but she got enough money from the people she's ripped off that she goes to Spain, and she's over there for
gets a ton of content.
Well, no, she's over there for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then she leaves Spain, and she goes, now she travels to Morocco. And I never heard from her again. No telling what happened to her.
They use their social media platform, and they collab with other people doing the same thing, and they post these extravagant videos. I'm on my yacht. I'm in my Urus. I'm doing this. And they post it all, and they go, and then they have their link. You know, if you want to learn how to do this, work from home and do all this stuff, follow my link, buy my course for $5,000. And so it's this revolving door of they try to sell people this scam that most of it doesn't work, so they fund their lifestyle, so they convince everybody that they're ultra wealthy. It's one of the funniest but saddest scams you've watched. The problem is a lot of people are figuring it out now.
Well, they did it back in the 80s and 90s with infomercials with real estate guys. And a lot of these guys, because they're making all these fake claims, they went to jail.
Yeah.
But the internet's like a wild, wild west. Well, be careful.
Yeah,
by the way, I'm going to say one thing. Jim Rohn, I knew him. Good guy. Did a bunch of seminars with him. Started listening to his CDs and his tapes many, many decades ago. Now they've got him basically copied with AI, and it's not even his voice anymore. And he's saying stuff I never heard him say, which isn't even accurate. So be careful what you listen to him on YouTube. But one time he said to me, he said, you know, Ted, he goes, you got to learn something real quick in life. You can't send a duck to eagle school.
No.
And I said to him, I said, what do you mean by that, Jimmy? He goes, if you have a duck that wants to be an eagle, he goes, you could go ahead and train him to be an eagle. But remember, he doesn't have talons. He's got flippers. And he goes, and you can tell him he's an eagle. You can pretend like he's an eagle. You can give him a little eagle hat. You can give him a little eagle badge. A little eagle jacket. But the first time he goes for a rabbit, he's got flippers. He doesn't have talons. He can't do it.
He's got a beak. A big beak.
He says you can't send a duck to eagle school. A lot of these people on social media are ducks.
They are. And they're pretending to be eagles. And you can do it for a little bit. Until you could scam everybody, you could get about a year or two out of it, but it always comes home. Bruce, you know, it's funny, the other day I had to pull up our sales tax receipt, and with Brower Marketing and all the stuff, I had to give it to a company. They needed to order more product, and they go, man, you guys, since you guys here basically have had this license, it's 1984. Mm-hmm. I said, well, yeah, we don't have to start up new ones to start new LLCs every 3 years. I said, this company's older than I am. But some of that, I said, when you look at a track record of a company, look at their long term and their longevity and how long they've been doing it. It's easy to go in, make an LLC, make a fake Instagram profile, lie to everybody, make a few $1,000s, and then bamboozle everybody, run off with it. It's pretty easy if you have no ethics or morals. The problem with it is now, you've also said that earlier, the FBI and a lot of guys are starting to go after a lot of these social media guys because the claims they're making now
aren't true.
They're not true.
Well, and you know, the thing about too, and men, listen to me. This is important. You got to listen to me on this. A lot of these girls that are doing this are really pretty. Now, listen to me. Now, just because they're pretty doesn't mean they're smart. They can be smart and pretty. I'm not saying that's not possible. And it doesn't mean they're good in business.
Most of them are hookers.
Ooh.
Did I say that? I'm sorry. I should have said that on the show. It's Friday. That's what they are. That's most of the industry.
That's
But it's how much are you going to pay me to go on your yacht with you? Oh, did I just say that? Yeah. I've been around the vehicle world too much, and I've tried to stay away from it, but I've seen what really goes on behind the scenes.
I was
if you're a cool wife, and you got a cool husband, don't compare your lifestyle to hookers on social media. I said that a couple months ago. You know, because this chick's showing off her Birkin or Hermes, and she's on a yacht, she's driving a Urus, and she's constantly going to these places, but she never has a man online. She hauls all this money, but she can't ever show off who has it. She's probably a hooker. Don't compare your life to her. Love your kids. Love your family. Focus on that. Social media is not, Instagram's not a real place.
It's a funny story. I'm talking to a preacher from Palm Beach. Great guy. Love him. Good friend. And he gets invited to Mar-a-Lago for a New Year's Eve party.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 or 3 years in a row. And finally, you know, he tells me, he goes, yeah, we got invited to this, you know, 300-foot yacht after the Mar-a-Lago thing. And I said, okay, that's great. He said, we're at the yacht. He goes, there were a lot of scantily dressed women on the yacht.
Hookers.
And he's telling me about it. And then he talks about it from a sermon. Woo, doggy. I called him up and said.
That's called doing damage control.
No. Listen to me. I called him up and I said, dude, let me explain something to you. I said, you're in Satan's lair here.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of whores dressed up in lingerie walking around on a yacht. I said, yo, this is what a lot of people do with yachts. They get to go on the yacht, but they have to do all kinds of stuff for the guy who owns the yacht if they go on the yacht.
There you go.
We had a girl that we knew. Now, listen to me. I'm going to be really blunt. I guess this is one of those shows anyway.
I got some health topics coming
up. I got to finish this. And she worked for us, and she was a missionary's daughter. You remember this, Austin?
Yeah.
And she got a job for the summer right out of Bible college to work on a yacht all summer in the Mediterranean, a 200-foot yacht. And she was going to be a server on the yacht. And I said, the people were going to lease this yacht out all the time. And I said to her, now you understand that they're going to have orgies on this yacht. She said, oh, they wouldn't do that.
Okay.
And I looked at her and I said, yeah, they are. And I said, you know, you're a Christian. Well, I want to see the Mediterranean. I said, then get a ticket on the Europass and go on a railroad over there.
We're going on a cheap cruise, man. You're going on a cheap cruise.
I said, but if you do this, you're going to get exposed to stuff that you is like that song of Three Dog Night. Mama told me not to come. Well, Ted told me not to go. And I'm telling you, that's why I warned her. And since she started doing some research, she found out that's exactly right. It was a floating orgy. And I said, the problem is you're really pretty. And I said, they're going to want you involved in this crap with the people on board. And I said, you're going to find out real fast. You're going to get an education that you never thought you were going to get real fast, or they're going to fire you. And she found out. She talked to her dad and everything else. And she called me up. She said, you were right. I said, I know I was right. And I said, and she goes, I'm not doing this. I said, well, thank you. I said, I'm glad you're not going to do this. Be really careful with people who promise you things that they can't deliver and want you to go things and do places with them that they're going to have you compromise. Be really careful. I had this other lady who's a big scammer. She made Daily Mail.
Yeah.
You know who she is. And all she did was lie. And she was unbelievably nice. But all she did was lie about everything. Finally, Daily Mail did a big story on her, and doggone, they went after her, you know, with the international Interpol to try to arrest her because she goes from country to country to country. And I know her, and I know her ex-husband, and he can't stand her. He says, "Man, I wish I never would have met that woman." I said, "Yeah, I know."
And so the whole point of the base of what we're saying with all this stuff is before you start spending.
Know who you're doing business with.
Know who you're doing business with. Know who you're buying from. Know who you're supporting. Because at the end of the day, I'm the kind of person, just meet my preference, I don't like spending a copious amount of money with a company if I don't at least agree with a large percentage of what they stand for. Put it that way. If you got a company that says we're pro-abortion, we hate guns, we love trannies, we love pedophiles, make sure you give us more money. I'm gonna hard pass on that.
And if and Starbucks, if you're a Christian, don't bother coming in. If you're pro-gay or anti-gay,
look at the background of, you know, like magnesium brain food. There's a reason why it's got 61 reviews, and that we haven't had this website up in that long. I mean, there's a reason why we put this stuff together. We do it on purpose to make sure you guys have the access. That's why we're doing the whole thing with the Brower Bucks. I'm talking to my developer yesterday. We're working on that. Going to be trying to roll it out by the end of next month.
This is not legal currency.
No.
This is health.
This is Health Masters ecosystem internally that only customers can be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private club and you're invited, mm-hmm. but it's not something we're going to allow open to everybody. For example, you have to be supporting and taking care of Health Masters and getting the highest quality supplements you can. And this brings you into this ecosystem, which allows you to get a whole lot of stuff. There's something we're going to do on there. Basically, like 2,500 points which is equivalent to like $25 discount. You can only use it X amount of times for this one, but it's going to get you a free can of Ultimate Multiple Powder. Whoa. Like, that's enormously discounted. That's insane. But I'm going to do certain specials like that sometimes for people as they build points up. For example, hey, this weekend coming up, instead of having a sale, every dollar you spend is 3X on points. So you buy a $100 order, you get 300 points.
There you go.
XXX, and it keeps continuing to go up. And so there's a lot of stuff we're going to start doing. It's the main reason why I'm doing it is I'm doing it to bring everything back to the customers that take care of us, the 3%ers. Yeah, I learned a long time ago from Jim Rohn. I've talked about it. So has Dad. 20% of your customers do 80% of your sales.
There you go.
And I love to support 100% of my customers, always have, always will. But there's also that level of customers that talk about us, promote us, talk about the YouTube video, promote the YouTube videos that we do on there. We're trying to grow on here. There's articles here. You know, we got Rick on here. We got 264th Dimension. You know, we got Gardening and God. I don't know everybody's names on here. I just know their handles is here. Walking with Ultimate Armor. You know, I appreciate everybody.
Love
SRT
these names.
Goddess. Yeah, they're great. Yeah. You know, Kathy Johnson. Thank you guys. They said Ted Dad Show. I like that. I stepped on
told you, you're getting letters.
Not all churches are corrupt. A lot of them are all about money. Yeah, so the thing about it is, thank you for the stuff.
No, not all churches are corrupt. I go to a great Lutheran church. I got one of the greatest pastors on the planet. I love my church. Books are open. Everybody knows what everybody gets and what they make. They know where all the money goes. We know where all the money goes. They publish the books. That's what it's supposed to be. If they're hiding behind the books and you can't see what they're doing, nasty.
Health Masters Brewer Bucks program commenced. It's coming. It's not here yet. Somebody said on here, this is funny, beware of those who are changing LLCs like clothes. That's spot on. I can't. That is the thing that I said earlier. Look up a company before you start spending a copious amount of money or you start buying courses.
Oh, by the way, Grandpa Munster talked.
Which one's that?
For the Munsters. From the TV show back in the 60s.
Yeah.
We have Grandpa Munster. We call him Ted Cruz today.
Oh, yeah, Ted Cruz.
I mean, he looks just like Grandpa Munster. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's wild how much he looks like. He's probably his great-great-grandson or something. But now he's the man that Fauci faces jail for cowardly Fifth Amendment dodge over 100 times.
I gotta show you this photo real quick.
And, you know, now, Grandpa Munster, I got to say this to you. This is pure theater to get you.
I got to put I've been meaning to put this up. So this is Ian. He had the gym.
How's his language?
I'm not posting the video. His language is rough. But he's great, dude. Talked to him many times on social media. He was the one who stood his ground with New Jersey governor when they tried to shut down his gym, and he reopened it, and he let it open for free. They arrested him. He went to court. He fought it. He won. He lost some stuff. He's great, dude. Cool dude. Very, very open, conservative, and also unbelievably against almost everything involved with the government. So he made a statement here, and he's spot on. I want you guys to read this. He said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but nothing is going to happen to Anthony Fauci.
Absolutely true.
This is all performative BS to keep people watching. They'll vote contempt next week. It'll go to the DOJ, and it'll die there like everyone before it. This is called limited hangout. It's an intelligence community term. You release a real but minor piece of truth to satisfy the people asking, absorb the news cycle, and protect the bigger thing. Thank you for attention to this matter. Is exactly what they did with the Epstein files.
Yep.
They release a chunk of it. They tell everybody, we've done this now. We've saved the victims. Then it goes to the cycle, the news. The news cycles it out, right? They run everything until they bring in more stuff over the headlines. And then everybody goes, yeah, it got released. Who got arrested for pedophilia? What person was indicted? Zero. What's going to happen to Fauci? Nothing. So don't get your hopes
up. Trump says that he's going to basically let the pardon stand with. Well, here's why Trump's doing that. He doesn't want to pardon a bunch of. He's already told everybody in his administration he's pretty much pardoning everybody.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not doing this and pardoning everybody. So he doesn't want his pardons to be questioned after he gets out.
That's exactly right. Because if he goes in and dissolves Biden's pardons, then he has to justify when he starts pardoning people as well.
We can't prove that Biden didn't sign this stuff, even with the robo pen. Yeah, the auto pen.
What's so stupid about it is they've had plenty of time to bust Fauci for, I mean, immense amount of
things.
This
has been 6-7 years now.
Right, even before he was pardoned. I mean, all this stuff has been going on with him, and the lines, just the very fact that he made ivermectin standard of care without any significant clinical trials that showed efficacy.
Not ivermectin.
No. Remdesivir, excuse me, you're right. Remdesivir literally failed the clinical trial that they based it off of, and he lied and told everybody it was good. The control group that took remdesivir had more deaths than the normal COVID group.
No, Ebola people.
Yeah. No, COVID, when they first tested it.
That's right.
And so what happens is you look at it and you go, this isn't anything that we were told the truth about. Everything was a lie that came out of his mouth, but yet millions upon millions of people died, and he's walking free. So don't get excited about this whole thing. A lot of it is theater. My stance on that.
Well, no, it's always theater. It's the monkey poop show. That's all it is. And once you understand that, they're not going to do anything to Fauci. They can't do anything to Fauci. He was only doing what he was told to do. Remember, Fauci didn't make the controls here.
No.
He was following what he was told.
The cutout mouthpiece they wanted him to be for the situation.
That's why I love the movie The Wizard of Oz. I love it.
Well, it's got a lot of subliminal stuff. You got to realize what it's talking about.
You got the Road of Gold. But you get the whole thing on The Wizard of Oz, what the real meanings were. But the thing about it is, here at the very end, they get to the Emerald City, and this giant, and this amazing special effects for 1930s
green
movie.
Face.
Oh, my gosh. And so, screaming and yelling at everybody, and all of a sudden, Toto, the little dog, runs over to a curtain, grabs the curtain, he pulls it, and there's a guy behind the curtain pulling the levers.
Little dweeb.
Yeah. He's, whoever he was. And all of a sudden, they go, wait a minute, He goes, ignore the man behind the curtain, he says.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. Well, you're the one talking to the intercom here. I mean, we hear you. I mean, we see you. I mean, no, you see nothing. And you're like, wait a minute. And then he saw him, and then all of a sudden he's busted. It's the cult that rules the world, the Satanists that do all of this stuff. And they're the ones that are basically pulling the strings behind the scenes. But they don't want you to look at them. And see, that's why they put Fauci up there as a gatekeeper. They put up Bill Gates as a gatekeeper. They put up their cutouts is what they are. They pick them.
If it came out,
Elon Musk, same thing.
If it came out and they said, listen, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street have now deemed it so that remdesivir is going to be standard of care, everybody would go,
who are the CEOs?
Right. Why do we have massive, massive little hat people that are operating multi-trillion-dollar asset firms running the scene for a medical industry? Oh, no. My bad. We misspoke. Fauci's the one who's dictating this now. That's how they always do it. Now, here's an article I really wanted to cover. This is really important. This is for your kids, guys, and this is before school starts. Be aware of this right now. This is becoming a very big thing, and I'm going to tell you why it's probably not that good. Schools are pushing mental health screening. School-based universal mental health screening now is becoming a standard recommended care for all kids in school now. Parents opt out of this. Increasing number of children are likely to face mental health screening when they return to school this fall. While early identification sounds reasonable, in practice, it does much more harm than good. School-based universal mental health screening functions at an entry point into therapeutic culture that pathologizes normal children to stress, erodes resilience, and funnels children towards psychiatric label therapy and medication. Nearly one-third of U.S. schools now are conducting a mental health screening. Illinois now became the first state last year to require students in grades 3 through 12 to undergo a mental health screening each year. In January, South Carolina proposed a bill doing the same thing. The trend is becoming worrying. Watson, one of the foremost authorities in the U.S. on the over-medicalization of children with psychiatric drugs. Mental health screening tool flags almost all false positives. For example, children grieving the loss of a grandparent, who are simply more intense or imaginative than an average student, is easily flagged as needing further evaluation. And it goes down the line, and it goes down the line, and invariably, he said it almost always, always ends up in the child being medicated at a very early age, and then the medication escalates until they're on multiple medications by the time they graduate high school.
Well, when this happens, the child never is allowed to develop mentally properly.
That is exactly right.
And so they stop the mental development. And sometimes you would call it arrested development. It's kind of like pot. You get a child on pot when they're 12 years old, their brain stops developing. And by the time they're 30 years old, they're still 12 years old in their brain, and they're sitting in their parents' basement wearing their high school clothes, smoking dope, and they can't get a job or hold a job, and they won't work. They're always out trying to get job interviews. They're always trying to do stuff. But the reality is that they don't ever do anything because they have arrested development.
And here's two big problems I'm going to bring up now from a psychological standpoint I want to address. And listen to me very carefully. I'm going to try to make this concise. First thing this does with children, it plays immediately. It gives them the victim status at a young age. I'm a victim. I have anxiety disorder.
And it gives them a psychiatric disorder label. So now when you try to go get insurance, life insurance or whatever, when you get older, have you ever been diagnosed with a psychiatric illness?
Correct. It falls around the rest of their life. It goes in their jacket.
It doesn't stop.
But even worse, from a developmental psych standpoint, as a child develops, they're supposed to learn to overcome hurdles. You learn how to do things. You learn how to be self-sufficient. You learn how to grow. You learn how to think. You learn how to talk. You learn how to negotiate. You learn how to date. These are all developmental characteristic traits that you develop as a child. That stops all these. Because now anytime there's a problem, you never go over the hurdle.
You just take meds.
You take the meds and say, I'm a victim of anxiety disorder. I can't complete this. Boy, I can't do this. I can't go here. I can't go on a date with her, ask her out because I have anxiety disorder. It turns every single decision into a victim mindset for the rest of their life. Secondly, here's the big problem that it does. It starts implanting subconscious ideas in their head that never existed. Here's a question here.
Ooh, that's true.
Oh, I want you to read this.
A lot of these girls say, I was raped when I was 5 or 6 or 7, and it never, ever happened.
The
same thing happens with guys. They have this stuff they start thinking about.
The worst is suicidal tendencies.
They plant this stuff in their heads. How often do you consider suicide? Well, I've never considered suicide.
That's my question I have right here. Yeah. In the past few weeks, do you wish you were dead?
There you go.
Have you felt your family be better off dead?
There you go.
Have you had thoughts about killing yourself?
They say this to these kids.
This is the pediatric depression anxiety questionnaire. Okay, these are the questions off it. Have you ever tried killing yourself? Are you having thoughts of killing yourself right now? Have you felt overwhelmed in the past month? Are you sad much of the time? Are you fucking kidding me? You're asking a question? These are third grade questions. Third grade. They're 7 years old. Do you think about killing yourself on a regular basis? No, but now I am.
Unbelievable.
This is insanity. Do not opt in for this. Do not sign. They have on here, it says, be cautious of essentially these mental schooling tools and also consent forms. A lot of times in the school, they will give you these consent forms. They'll say, we need you to sign off on this for this or this. And parents should sign it. Sign it. Do not sign anything on your child's behalf without reading it first. That is crucial.
And remember something. When you do this to kids, you know, instead of the young man developing into a young man, into an adult alpha male, he turns into a meow boy.
Exactly right.
Now, I could say the P word for that, but there's no point in doing that. You got what I mean by the P word and the meow boy. And so he never gets into that fight in school.
Victim status. Okay? He's always a disorder victim.
Yeah, he's always a victim. And then, you know, and all of a sudden he's 20 years old and he goes, oh, I think I'm gay. And you're like, gay? You're not gay. Oh, yeah, I don't like guys. I like girls. I like whatever.
I don't know. I'm confused.
And so all of a sudden you're like, well, what is wrong with you? I mean, you're not.
Because he never had a chance to properly develop and make decisions because everything was clouded by a disorder status.
And he never got a chance to win.
No. That's exactly right. The children, especially young men, young boys, listen to me. They have to overcome obstacles on their own. Now, it doesn't mean you can't stand by and watch. It doesn't mean you can't encourage. It can't mean you can't pick them up when they fall down. But they have to attempt to cover obstacles. They have to have wins. They have to have defeats. If they don't have that, they never fully develop and mature. This is really true with boys. They don't turn into men. They turn into victims.
And mother, listen to me. I'm going to pick on the mothers for a second. I love you guys. You guys are great. And some of you best mothers in the world of the show. But you got to let your son have a relationship with his father.
Yes.
Or at least another male mentor. You've got to have that. He has to have that developmental point. Because if he doesn't, he's going to start craving male attention. And a lot of times he'll go gay from that. This is why when lesbians raise little boys, almost invariably the little boys are gay. Because they've got to have that male. I mean, we weren't designed to operate from one sex from a childhood standpoint, just a mother or just a father. We have to have dual interactions. You think, well, I'm divorced. Okay, find a good mentorship program for your child, but make sure the mentor who's you're taking care of your kids, not a stinking pedophile. You got to be really careful with that kind of stuff too, guys. Really, really important. I had a mentor when I was a kid. My parents were divorced. His name was Howard. Now, Howard has some great traits and some bad traits. I chose to look at the great traits, not ignore the bad traits. The reality is that he helped me to develop as a young man. Because my parents were divorced. You got to have that leadership role in your life when you're a young man to teach you how you're supposed to do it. Because if you don't, if all you want to do is hang on to your mother's apron strings.
And be a victim,
chances are you're going to roll gay. And you think, well, no, that's not true. Yeah, it is.
By the way, psychology, and this, I want to address this one thing also too. Somebody said this in the YouTube channel. They will eventually at some point ask your children if you have firearms in the house. That's another thing they're going to do on here.
Because they want to make sure the kid doesn't use the firearms.
That's exactly right. We need to find out all the firearms your parents own because he said that sometimes he feels suicidal. This also sets up for CPS and a whole other slew of problems that go along.
And red flag gun laws.
And red flag gun laws that are now a problem in Florida everywhere else where they can come in, seize your firearms because somebody's told them what firearms you have. They'll have a list of them, and they seize them, and you have to prove that you're not crazy or your child's not crazy. Red flag gun laws are one of the most heinous things that's ever existed on a constitutional standpoint. Because caution that, because here's the thing they said right here. It's one thing I want to cover, and I'll let him finish it. Beware passive consent forms. A lot of schools now are using passive consent forms that presumes consent unless the parent actively opts out. This is a big one to understand. So I said, look at what you're signing. Listen, well, passive consent, meaning they can do anything they want now because you signed off on one thing and they have access to everything with your child.
This happens in surgery. If you go into surgery and you're going in for an abdominal surgery and they find something else wrong, you've signed the form that while you're under anesthesia, if they find something else wrong with you, they can fix it without
your
permission.
Exactly right.
That's passive consent. Suddenly they decide to take the appendix. Suddenly to get the
resection. Oh, your gallbladder was swollen too, by the way.
We're going to take that out too, and we're going to resect your colon. Oh, we don't think your colon is. We're going to give you a colostomy. So you come out because you thought you were going to have a polyp taken out. Now you don't have a colon. You're like, what the heck just happened? You got a bag on my side. What is this all about? Well, your colon's gone now. We took it out. And you're like, I didn't sign off on that. Well, yeah, here it is, passive consent. One more thing I want to cover. Another symptom of growing isolation. We're finding out now that people hardly speak anymore in 2026 versus what they did in 2000. Everybody sits on their stupid telephone
all
day.
Told everybody. Tell us it's going to happen.
We warned everybody it's going to happen. You know, we used to have coffee houses. My mom had a German beer tavern. We used to sit around all the time in the German beer tavern, and I'm not promoting going to a bar, but it was different back then.
Billiards.
We used to play pool in there. And we used to talk all the time. People would come in. We had like a little clique that would come in. They would always come in, and they would talk. We were all friends.
Play pool. Everybody talks. Everybody shares ideas, thoughts, concepts.
That's gone.
That's exactly right.
When people go to coffee houses now, it's like, I need a double latte.
Gone.
And they don't even talk to you. The server doesn't even say thank you.
No.
And then you're supposed to leave a tip jar. It'd be money in a tip jar.
Oh, no. They automatically put, especially if you have a card. Oh, how much of a tip you want to leave? I'm like, you literally just rung in a drink or food. I haven't understood that concept yet. Every restaurant you go to, it's like, do you want to leave a tip? The person typed in, I want a double cheeseburger, Five Guys. Yeah. Do you want to leave a 20% tip? No. You want to be a server? You want to get tip money? Go be a server. Go be a bartender. Pay your dues. I did it for a year and a half in college. He did it too. There's a whole big difference between ringing in something at a store or restaurant and actually taking care of tables, waiting tables, taking care of bar tops. That is a whole different world. I'm not giving you a $10 tip on a $20 burger because you rung in an order. That drives me up the wall.
Well, no, but they don't even speak to you. That's the problem.
No, they'll be rude. Give me a tip.
And this is where we are. You sit there and you stare at the wall and you don't talk to each other because you both have your iPhones in your hands. You don't build intimacy that way in a relationship. All you do is turn into roommates who don't talk to each other. It's a horrible way to live. Period. God, I'm so glad I was born when I was born, Austin. When I was born, it was different. We had our own set of problems socially, whatever. But the reality is, at least we all learn how to get into fights. We all learn how to basically, be a real man. We all learn how to work out. We all learn how to have a mentorship program. We all learn how to basically stand your ground. We all learned that if you gave somebody your word, you didn't have to sign a contract. Because your word was sacrosanct. It's not like that anymore.
Well, and you actually have to do things. It's a concept called conflict resolution.
Yeah.
You have a problem. You have to figure it out. You can't hide behind a keyboard. I'm going to talk crap. I think I'm cool. I'm an armchair warrior. I'm going to tell you how cool I am online. Don't even know where you are or where you're at, but I'm going to talk cool. That concept cracks me up with these clowns nowadays that talk big on social media. Show up. Put down your best game. Do your best. Leave. Conflict squash. Get over it. By the way, this is the article I had written a couple months ago from Harrison. This involves the purple sticks. Give me camera four. It says, smarter way to do caffeine, why steady beats spite. This goes into detail what we discussed at the beginning of the show if you want to read it. Why energy drinks can backfire. And it goes into detail on coffee, energy drinks, pre-workouts, what they do to your body, what they do to cortisol, what they do to your sleep, and how they really wear your body out and have significant withdrawals in the future. Purple sticks are designed differently. Natural caffeine from green tea and other natural sources really gives you that boost without the crash, with consistent energy throughout the day. And that's why you can take them later on and they don't make you just completely and totally twacked out like a lot of the pre-workout and coffee does. So check this out on the site. Read about it. This is why we put these articles together, and it breaks in detail each ingredient, why it's in there, and how it works, and the science-based protocol we built. So if you got questions about this, that's the concept.
Well, here's the thing. Most companies don't do that.
Heck no, they
don't
do that.
Because they don't want to tell you why the calcium carbonate is going to clog up your arteries.
Most companies won't even tell you the actual ingredients of the product.
Proprietary
blend, 2,000 milligrams, and they put a list of ingredients that sounds great. Well, how much is in it? What's the actual ingredient?
What's the breakdown?
Is it cyanide cobalamin? I don't know. It's just B12. That's it. Be sure you do your research, guys. Have a fantastic weekend. Grab the purple sticks in a can on sale. If you need anything, call us. Email us, healthmasters.com. I appreciate everybody on YouTube today. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you guys on this show tomorrow, as always.
And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, He is the author, He is the finisher, He's the perfecter of our faith. We can do all things through Him. Keep your kids in church. Really, really important. You stay in church. Really important. I'll see you in church on Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. And thank you for being our friends, and thank you for praying for us. We pray for you. Love you guys.